And we see this from following the money as well, is when the unions start talking about money per students, we don't realize where that's being divvied up. And the giant growth of administration in higher education, and then now it's funneled finally back into lower education, is in administration. People who need their title to keep their job. And so their push is always for the diversity administrator. Well, that person's not going to move towards your direction because that's not being diverse. That's being Christian. We're not supposed to be doing that. That's my one goal in life, is to not have Christians tell us what to do. I ban the books I want to ban. You don't tell me what books to ban.
Well, and I know you always shake your head at this every time I bring it up, but Alberta spent $3.4 billion on the Alberta Class Size Initiative, which saw class sizes increase in the province of Alberta. So what happened to that money? It went into administration. It didn't go into the classrooms. It ballooned the administration. And so, yeah, that's what we see. Anytime there's an increase in funding that isn't very tightly controlled, that's what we see. And part of that is because of regulatory burden, because if you're putting more regulations and reporting requirements and so forth, then you're going to have administrative bloat to keep up with it. And if these school divisions are ballooning and the schools themselves are ballooning and it suddenly becomes a lot easier to hire an expert than to listen to the real experts. It suddenly becomes a lot easier to for a parent's voice to get lost in this in this massive bureaucracy. Then you need that's a self-perpetuating cycle, is what is the point I'm getting at, is the bigger things get, there's a natural tendency there, you're going to need more so-called experts because you're losing touch with the real experts, the parents.
And just a real quick aside, we can replace the word education with healthcare and get the same exact talking points here too. So again, this isn't just apologetics only. This isn't just education only. This permeates throughout our entire culture.
This is how God made the world and how people sometimes malform it, right? Like this is God's world with the rules of the game the way he made them, and you'll see it repeat across fields for sure. So that's part of it. There's also the less you're getting input from parents, the more you're going to need legal professionals and insurance, and they're going to start calling the shots, and that's more compliant, more administrative, and more. If you have goals, the education of them, then starting to creep into the mission of your school, starts to be mission drift in a direction other than the simple education of the children, then that's going to lead to administrative bloat. So you've got lots of sources of this, and just the simple fact that, you know, institutions would prefer to perpetuate themselves, right? this is sort of how institutions work, without profit signals, particularly without a motivation to get smaller. That's simply how institutions tend to work. My point is, you can even start to see it outside the public system. You can even start to see this because either there's regulatory pressures, or it's just how how things work. You'll see it much less outside if in schools of choice where parents have to affirmatively, families have to affirmatively choose these schools, then you'll see it a lot less because there's a lot more of a something resembling a price signal there that can rein that in. But they're not immune from it, especially again if you're the regulatory requirements themselves are going to impose a cost that the response is going to be more. And then even things we don't think of as regulation, but prevalence of sexual abuse or bullying in the system is to avoid liability, to avoid political blame, to avoid and for good-hearted purposes that we'd like to avoid sexual abuse and bullying, you'll see more administration start to step in. So these forces for this ballooning of administration are overdetermined, but the more of that we see, the less and less of what we are spending for the education of students is actually making it to the classroom, and the less and less that parent's voice is going to be able to get through the noise, which again is why start with the classroom teacher, because once you get into that bureaucracy, it's a hydra. Right. you cut off one head, two come in its place. So stick to that classroom teacher when you can. And then I might also almost recommend starting from the other direction, like start with elected officials. Bureaucrats have very, very little motivation to listen to you. Like they've got their own sort of bureaucratic institutional motivations, which you may or may not be able to use to motivate them. But you've got an automatic motivation with a politician that, hey, if you handle this poorly enough, I could go to a newspaper, I could run against you, I could, you know, you could simply have a parent revolt that makes your job less fun. This is all very motivating to an elected official, less so to a superintendent. Some of whom make more than the president of the United States. And there's very little you can do to convince them that you can bring down their house of cards.
Yeah, that's why I always want to be a mid-level stooge, so that I'm lost in the milieu of the machine, but I still get the kickbacks and not have to do much work.